Well, how many of you like the title for today's sermon? That was good. JR said he couldn't wait. Patience. Boy, this was a tough one to write, too. You know, heard a story of a young man, young Christian man, went to an older believer and asked him, he says, "Will you please pray for me to have patience?" The old man, "Sure I will. I'd be more than happy to." So they both knelt together. The old man began to pray. He says, "Father God, give this man tribulation in the morning. Give this man tribulation in the afternoon. Give this man..." And the young man said, wait a minute. He said, "I didn't ask for tribulation. He said, I asked you to pray for patience for me." The old man said, "Ah." He said, "But it's through tribulation that patience comes." Boy, how true is that? I want to see by a show of hands this morning, how many of you have trouble with patience? Boy, just about every hand went up, didn't they? Now, how many of you are willing to pay the price to get patience? Boy, that's a tougher question there, isn't it? You know, most of us, we recognize we need patience. And we even pray for it. Our prayer will go, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." That's how our prayers go. But you know what? Patience, just like most of our characteristics as Christians, doesn't come quickly. Takes a while. Has to grow over time rather than just being given to us overnight. You know, when Jesus left this earth to ascend to his Father's right hand, he told his disciples that he would soon return. Well, to his disciples, soon meant something completely different than what soon was to Jesus. Soon to them was in just a few days he's going to come back. But to Jesus, that's not what it meant. You know, we used to go to Florida when the girls were young, when my parents were still living down there. And we would tell Casey and Aaron when they were young, "We're going to be going to Florida soon." Well, that was usually about July. We planned to go about Christmas time. Well, that was soon to Jane and I. Now, but soon to Casey and Aaron was, "Are we leaving tomorrow?" Now, people in Jesus' day, soon meant just a few days from now. Many of them quit their jobs, went to the hillside to watch for their Savior to return. You know, it's not too much different than just a few years ago when many, many people quit their jobs, sold everything they had, went to Israel, waited by the Mount of Olives to see Christ come on January 1st, 2000. But he didn't come, did he? You know? See, they believed that their patience was finally going to be rewarded. And even though we don't know the date of Christ's return, we know that he is coming again. We know that. But you know, until that time, every single one of us has to use the time that we have left, that God has given us to shape us, to mold us the way he wants us. And that takes patience. We're going to look this morning at a few verses that are going to remind us that we need patience. That we need patience while we live in this world and are actively waiting and anticipating Christ's return. Turn with me over to James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until he gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and of mercy. What is the reward of patience? It's strength. The reward of patience is maturity and strength. You know, James uses a farmer here to illustrate the necessity of patience, of waiting. Now, when the farmer goes out in the spring, well, they don't till much anymore, but they used to plow and get the ground ready. Then they would plant the seed. Then they prayed for rain, right? But it took a long time before they saw the fruits of their labor. They had to patiently wait for the fruits of their labor. You know, in the climate in Canaan here, talks about the early rains and the latter rains. Well, they had a rainy season in the spring and in the fall. That's what it's talking about. But you know, actually, a farmer doesn't have to wait long before he sees plants starting to come up, does he? How long does it take, Jim? A few days? 4 days to a week, and you can see the little sprouts coming up. Now, what would you think of a farmer who, when they saw those sprouts come up, went and harvested? Are they going to get much? They're not going to get anything, are they? No. Takes time. They have to wait until the growing process is complete. Farmers have to be patient. Parents have to be patient too, don't they? It takes a lot of patience. You know, I can remember back when waiting for Casey to be born. Boy, seemed like that 9 months would never go by. I'm sure it was worse for Jane than it was for me. But it just seemed to take forever. We actually didn't have to wait 9 months on her because she decided to show up early. We only had to wait 8 months. But if after that patient 8 months of waiting, if I would have said, I've got a good, healthy, mature child now that can take care of herself and left, what would I have? I would have had a dead child, wouldn't I? You know, parenting takes years of work, years of hard work, instilling knowledge, instilling faith, instilling maturity into your children so that they can survive in this world. and make it on their own. To be mature enough to make it on their own. You know, as parents, we want trees, not flowers. Flowers spring up, and then the first frost, they're gone. The trees, they take a little bit longer to grow, don't they? Years and years and years. But see, when that tree is grown and mature, it can withstand a hurricane. Still be standing. And that's what we want for our children. That takes patience. Turn with me back just a couple chapters earlier in James. James chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, does perfect mean sinless? No. Perfect means mature, strong, having everything necessary to withstand the storms of life that are thrown at us. And see, patience produces strength within us. What's the motivation for our patience? It's the return of Jesus Christ. That's what we're motivated by. Think about when your kids were young. They had a job that you wanted them to do, or maybe a particularly difficult job. What did you do? "If you do a good job on this, I'm going to give you $2 if you do a really good job." That motivates them, doesn't it? And even for us, it's comforting knowing that our hard work is going to get a reward at the end. Now, is our reward for our hard work money? No. What's the reward for all of our hard work? It's being in the kingdom of God when Christ returns. Could there be a better reward? That's what our reward is waiting for us. That's it. The kingdom. And James says the coming of the Lord is at hand. You know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says that we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He tells us that. Now, why do each one of us look so forward to the return of Christ? Do we look forward to it? We pray, "Thy kingdom come." Why? Why do we look so forward to that? Well, because he's going to give every single one of us who's faithfully served him our reward. Everlasting life in the kingdom of God. He's going to give us that reward. You know, when Christ returns, he's going to remove the results of the curse of sin on this earth. I want you to think about that. When the kingdom is established, no more cancer. Look at our prayer list. Cancer, 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 cancer. No more cancer. No more death for us, the saints. Think about that. No more crying. No more separation. You know, we'll have to even change the dictionaries. The word goodbye, it'll have no meaning anymore. That's what the kingdom holds. You know, I look forward to it too, because Jesus will remove all sin. Think about that. In the kingdom, you will never, ever be tempted again. You will never sin again. How incredible is that? That sin that we may struggle so hard with, it'll be taken away. You'll never sin again. You know, all those things that seem so unfair to us today, they'll be made right. Because we have a just king that's coming. You know, you get into Matthew 24. You know, Jesus says, when you see these things, know that the end is near. Earthquakes is one. Have you seen the world news? There's earthquakes constantly. How about weather? Hurricanes. A hurricane in Ohio. It says, when you see these things, know that my coming is right at the door. You know, regardless of when Christ returns, you know, I can say what Paul said in Romans 13:11. He says, salvation, in other words, the coming of the Lord, is nearer than when we first believed. Can we all say that? Absolutely. We can say that today, His coming is closer than it was yesterday. Much closer. You know, believing that and understanding about Christ's return and knowing that when He comes, He's going to set everything the way it should be, I can wait patiently. I can have that patience. I can endure whatever this life throws at me, because I have that hope. And James says, we need to establish our hearts. We need to relax, settle down. Not let situations upset us. Events get us all flustered and upset. We shouldn't allow, especially, the sufferings that we go through to ever cause us to give up. You know, when we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is probably, as a pastor, one of my favorite passages to read from time to time. Because it's kind of, I don't know, it kind of relates to me. You know, sometimes getting discouraged, bringing people to the truth, and then when they come to the knowledge of the truth, trying to see them get committed, to commit their lives. And just when you think you're getting somewhere, bottom falls out. And you just want to see all that hard work. Where did it go? You know, I read a story on the computer a month or two ago. It's actually the thought that I had for this sermon. It was about a pastor who, after 20 years in the ministry, quit to become a mortician. quit the ministry to become a mortician. And he was asked, why? Why did you do this? He says, well, said, I tried for 2 years to straighten out Don and Sue's marriage. They ended up getting a divorce. Said, I tried for 7 years to straighten out Joe's life. Now he's in prison. Says, I tried for 10 years to straighten out the music minister, and he's still as ornery as he ever was. He says, but by golly, now when I straighten them out, they stay that way. You know, when we live for Jesus, when we live for bringing people into the knowledge of the truth and into His kingdom, we're going to stumble. There's going to be times that all of our efforts, no matter how hard they are not going to produce the results that we wanted or intended. They're not. That's just a fact of life. But you know, it's in those times that it's so tempting to quit. To say, why bother witness these people? They're never going to get it. They think I'm a fool. And we're tempted to quit. Just to not do it. You know, Paul faced times like that. Faced a lot of times like that. When he loved people. And they responded to him with anger. He helped people. They turned and they heard him. He taught people. They ignored him. How did he deal with that? How did he deal with those rejections? Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to jump down a little bit after that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Jump down to verse 8. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. In verse 13, he says, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Then in verse 16, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentarily, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, there's a whole lot of things that I don't know for sure. But there's two things I do know for sure. The first is that our Creator loves me. He proved it by sending His only begotten Son to the cross to give His life for me. I know that God loves me. And I also know that he is sending his son. That Christ will return. You know, and because of that, when the ground's shaking all around me, when I feel like the world's coming down on me, and I'm about to fall in the pit of despair, I can take comfort in that. Knowing those things, I can deal with anything when I know that his kingdom is coming. I can be patient because I know Jesus is coming. And what's the spirit of patience? It's peace. Peace is the spirit of patience. But you know, even though I know Jesus is coming and I look forward to that time when I'm in the kingdom, we still have to deal with today, don't we? It's not fun sometimes. You know? Sometimes when I'm waiting for something, my frustrations can build. And maybe I can take my frustrations out on some of those around me. Because I can't take it out on what I'm waiting for. So we take it out on our loved ones around us sometimes, don't we? You know, maybe you've been there too. Maybe you've been sitting in an airport. You're waiting for your flight. All of a sudden, here comes the loudspeaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but your flight has been delayed for 2 hours. Well, you'd been sitting there for 3 hours already. And they tell you it's due to construction. Well, you can't run out on the runway and take your frustrations out on the construction crew out there dodging planes, can you? So what do? You take it out on the attendant behind the desk. Or maybe the cashier at the little airport restaurant where you stop to get a bite and eat. That's what we do. You know, is it possible that we do that in church sometimes too? Is it possible? Maybe. We get frustrated when we see things not going in our world the way we think they should. We wonder, why doesn't God just send Jesus right now and straighten this mess up? We get frustrated, don't we? But we can't get angry with God, though, can we? That wouldn't be too smart. So what do? We turn our anger and our frustration out on those around us. You know, maybe we look at other people's lives. You say, well, you know, JR, he's not growing the way I think he should. He's going to have to get with the program. And we judge people then, don't we? And we judge them. We get impatient with their level of growth and we judge them. Well, James says that's probably not a pretty good idea. Because he says the judge is at the door. And he's ready to come in. The true judge. Jesus. Jesus is coming. And he is the only one who has the right to judge another person's life. He's earned that right. You know, as silly as it sounds, every single one of us should probably have a big sign hanging around our necks. Be patient with me. God's not finished yet. We shouldn't we? It's true. As we wait for our Lord's return, don't allow your frustrations to turn against God's people. Don't allow yourself to judge God's people, because God's not finished with them yet either. Remember, the source of patience is suffering. And the justification for patience is the goodness of God. Now, I pray that we never get impatient waiting for our Lord to return. Because when our change takes place, when He comes, every care, every worry, every frustration that we've had in this life will suddenly become nothing. Come, Lord Jesus.